It's an edition of Classic Martial Arts and Life. Trust you'll find it interesting and educational. If you want more content, you can find several levels of support on Patreon. And for those of you longtime supporters on Patreon, I am deeply grateful. This platform for high-level martial arts would not exist without you. Enjoy. Welcome to Martial Secrets. I'm Chris Wilder.
And I'm Lawrence Kane.
Lawrence, we've got a guest today, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And, well, you say his name. I'm not going to say it because if I do, I become the demon summoner.
Oh, you know, yes, Rory Miller. We have Rory Miller here, and it's been rumored that if you say his name out loud, he'll show up.
Three times, yeah. We're going to actually go into a little bit about what Rory's doing in regard to conflict communication. We're going to talk about the book that you guys are working on. And in fact, let's just start right there. You guys got together and collaborated on a book. But before we do that, Lawrence, what books have you written already?
What books have I written already? Boy,
now when you repeat the question,
you didn't say that there was going to be a test.
Okay, let's try.
So we got a little black book of violence with you, and Way of Kata, Way to Black Belt. I've got Surviving Armed Assaults myself, and Martial Arts Instruction, and the novel, which is Blinded by the Night.
Right, and Rory, you wrote just one Way Wicked book so far.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh no.
It's Meditations on Violence has been out for a couple years now.
Yeah.
Facing Violence comes out in May. And there's an ebook, Violence, A Writer's Guide, that has been doing pretty well.
I'm familiar with Meditations on Violence, and I think I would hope that most of our listeners would be. If they weren't, you should be. Go get that. It is the cornerstone of everything that you need to know for clean living and a long existence.
That and it'll keep you from doing something stupid and wanting to get in the morgue,
yeah,
the hospital.
Yeah. But what was the original title of your second book?
Seven.
What's it really called, though? What's the
Facing Violence is how it's going to come out.
Facing Violence is the way that it's going to come out. But the original title was Seven. Why Seven?
There's seven things you absolutely have to cover if you want to call it self-defense. Number one is the legal and ethical stuff. Number two, you have to understand violence dynamics. If you don't know how bad guys attack, you don't know what you're defending against, so you're blindsided. Number three, people do not specifically train on avoidance, escape, and evasion, and de-escalation. Number four, counter-ambush and counter-assault. Bad guys get surprised. That's how a predator attacks. If he doesn't get surprised, he'll pass on to someone else, which means you have to have something trained or reflex to get you through that first quarter or second of a fight. If you don't have it, you're going to get blindsided. After that, you're going to freeze. The best operators in the world freeze. At minimum, there's that switch to stalking to shooting. It's a measurable amount of time. That's the shortest freeze you're going to get. If you aren't at that level, if you haven't done that, you're going to have a much longer freeze based on some other stuff. If you've never experienced violence, you don't even know what is happening. Someone's just pounding on your face. And you're going to freeze. So you need to be able to recognize that you're frozen, and you need to be able to break out of the freeze.
So that was number five, freeze?
Five.
All right.
Number six is the fight. And almost everything you train in martial arts work at this level, with a couple of exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you're adrenalized, and since you're adrenalized, you aren't seeing the way you normally do. You have tunnel vision. Your hearing can be really, really messed up. Your thought process is completely screwed. You're clumsy. So one of the biggest lies we tell martial artists is that you're going to fight the way you train.
God, you know, your whole description right there just sounds like a bad prom date.
Exactly, and it's the similar kind of adrenaline.
Yeah.
We talked about this in the first interview. The first time you ask someone out on a date, you're a good talker normally. How is the first
time? You're a blithering idiot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like
it. So you'll fight the way you trained, you know, if you trained when you were being clumsy, partially blind, partially deaf, and stupid.
Yeah.
Other than that, it'll be a lot the way you trained. But then you also throw in fights happen in places. You need to start to learn how to use the environment. The bad guys you're facing aren't going to be like the people you train with.
So when is Facing Violence set to come out?
May 2011.
May 2011.
The cool thing about Rory and the way he writes is he brings a level of reality, and I'm not talking about, you know, the RBSD stuff. I'm talking about...
Wait, RBSD.
Reality-based self-defense. Rory's been in, what, more than 300 fights at least?
I quit counting at 300, but that was, what, 11 years ago now?
Yeah, so he quit counting at 300, and they're all with felons in a prison in his old job, mostly. few on the street outside
punks,
of that.
Punks, dweebs, tweakers.
The point is, it's not like wrangling drunk college students. These are real deal. Right?
Well, a lot of them were drunk college students, because one thing is jail, not prison. So we get them when they're fresh off the streets, drugs are still in their system, and they haven't, in general, been as thoroughly searched as they should have been. And they, by the time they get to prison, theoretically, they've done their jobs right, they know they aren't going to win.
Right.
And they actually tend to be a little easier to manage. They still think they can win in jail.
Well, that's the inexperience. The pro is just going to go, okay, I'm in the system. I know how it works. I'm going to go through it.
Right.
Yeah. But if I'm upset over the what's the big football game between Oregon and Oregon State?
The Civil War. Yes.
Okay, I'm upset about the Civil War, and I'm a Beaver fan, and and I'm pissed, and now I'm really angry because I've been put in jail and suffered a horrible loss to the Ducks once again. I'm not a happy man, and I'm going to take it out on you. Yeah.
Occasionally.
No, okay. If smart.
They try.
That's the background that Rory brings to his writing, right? He's not the dojo darling. He's not the guy that's been training something for 25 years and used it twice. You know, he's the guy that has to use it for a living whenever things go wrong. Take that a step farther.
Is it a bad thing, though? I mean, just let me interrupt you here for a second. You know, we kind of say that, and I'm guilty of it, too, kind of saying it in a pejorative manner. You know, you've only used it twice. Isn't that really a good thing?
It depends on why. If you haven't used it because you've got good skills and awareness, avoidance, and de-escalation, it's an awesome thing. If you haven't used it because you never get in that situation and you're teaching to folks, hey, this works, I know it works because whatever,
all right, Roy,
you know,
you're
my sensei told me. Right?
You're flopping your head back and forth.
Okay, it's a good thing. Anytime you don't fight is a good thing.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
And this is something that came up in the book that Lawrence and I are working on.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Yeah.
Is that sometimes we look at a thing and Lawrence would lay something out that was perfect as far as dynamics, what you should do, what, how to move, how to fight, how to put some damage on a guy when you're in deep trouble. And missing the context of what deep trouble feels like. Every martial artist knows how to generate power. It's part of what they train. They know how to hit hard. But the whole thing about being ambushed and under assault is it doesn't happen until you don't know you're in it, until you're already slammed into a corner, bent over, already punched, wind knocked out, whatever damage you've
taken. That's an ambush.
Right. So all these people have trained at power generation, have trained at a specific distance, with a specific footing, and once you take that out, which is the normal environment of a fight, you start from there. And so a lot of them, one of the things that martial artists feel like to me when I'm talking to them when we're working, is it like they know all the answers?
Didn't you know?
No, and they have. They've memorized all the answers in the back of the math book.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've never looked at the questions.
Well, what they've done is that's a big question too. And we bring this up in one of my blogs is that as an instructor, do I teach to the test? Or do I teach the skills that are needed? And so when you've got somebody who's saying, I've got 32 kata and this is the way I do them and they're precise, they have memorized and they have memorized to the test. They've learned to the test. But what you're saying is nice laboratory. Now let's step out onto the playing field.
Even worse than that. And I do this when I do seminars. I'll ask. Some of you spent 5, 10, 15, 20 years studying how to fight bad guys. Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, and I'll ask, okay, anyone in here that spent one day studying how bad guys attack, raise your hands.
Yeah, good question.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you don't know the problem, how can you possibly...
Well, I can actually raise my hand and say yes to that answer.
I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing that you bring, Rory, and that's the reason why people really need to read your stuff, is because you bring that experience. It's not that you're better, faster, tougher, stronger, smarter, whatever, than anybody else, necessarily. Well, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But you have the experience that... I mean, I've had close to as many fights as you have, but they've been drunken college students for the most part, and usually when there's more than one person involved, and so I'm not just by myself. You know, you're the guy that they send in, the tactical team, when everything's gone to heck, or worse, and they don't know what to do about it. So it's a different level.
Kind of, but that's sort of irrelevant. The experience to talk about, one of the many things that gets me is take karate, because you guys both study karate.
Right.
The body mechanics of karate are absolutely superb for a close range sudden fight. There's just nothing wrong with them. But without that information that the fights happen close range, people start trying to take body mechanics that were designed for a close range real fight and try to use them through the filter of what it looks like sparring.
Right.
And karate works for shit sparring, except against other karate. But it fits really, really well. And what I'm doing isn't so much, I'm not bringing anything new to the table. I'm not telling anyone that there's anything wrong with what they're doing. But once you actually start looking at violence, how it really happens, you start to see where your stuff fits. It was designed to fit in here. It didn't come down through all these instructor generations in these 20 or 100 years because it sucked.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't still be here if it didn't work.
But
you bring that context of fights happen in places and how to understand the place, how to understand the environment, how to understand the participants in a way that a lot of people don't have.
Right. Well, it's all stuff that everyone knows. They start looking through these filters. They try to just,
right.
It's like you learn a lock and you start looking for the place in the fight where the lock is going to work. And you can't walk into a puzzle with four puzzle pieces and hope to God that you've got the right hole for them. Chris, you're thinking.
Yeah, well, yeah, I actually was, because what I was trying to think about was a little bit in regard to meditations on violence. And I was trying to recall, there was a story in there that you told, and I don't remember which one it was, but it was it was the goofballs that attacked you. They thought they had a victim and didn't, and it actually got to the point where it seems like it almost turned from being social or antisocial violence to almost social, like, come back to our place and we'll finish this.
That come back to our place was trying to get me to a secondary crime scene where they had no witnesses and it wasn't on the street.
Ah.
No, that was very bad. And that's
that's a huge warning sign.
Yeah, well, that whole fight happened because of my tactical error. Because one of the stupid things when your adrenaline hits is you get really, really stupid ideas that you're very, very sure about.
True.
And that one is like, faced by two guys, I know it's going to go bad. And the first thought that pops into my head is, I'm still on probation with a new job and a new baby. I can't lose my insurance. I can't injure either of these two guys. And so I went into a 2-on-1 fight where they had the first move, trying not to injure them. And it went on for 15 minutes.
That's like 14 minutes longer than almost any fight I've ever been in. That's very unusual.
Well, and it's because they didn't have the skill to put me down, and I wasn't letting myself put them down. And
right.
It just stayed in that dynamic. They had to take breathers a couple of times.
Wow.
But at no point could I have broken and got out without leading them to my home.
Yeah. What's the title of this book you guys worked on?
Well, the title that we're turning in the manuscript with, and you know how this goes, when you turn in a title, the publisher looks at it and goes, awesome, about 10% of the time. Eh, I can live with it 10% of the time, and 80% of the time they change it to something else. But at least the working title is Scaling Force, Choosing the Right Option for Defense of Self and Others.
Okay, I want to throw this out here to both of you guys, okay? I got a student in my class, and his mom works for the school system. And she comes back and she says, well, I just got done with a 2-day seminar on tactical hand-to-hand type stuff for the school district and everything. Yeah, I know. Rory's got his hand over his eyes, but here's the deal. She says, I want to ask you if what they showed me is going to work. Well, my first response is, I haven't even seen what they've taught her. My first response is, no, I don't even know what it is. And they brought in this very sure, very confident instructor that showed these techniques. Now, and I kid you not, now follow this with me. Just take a minute in your mind's eye and listen to this.
Is this going to be one of those hot poker in the mind's eye moments?
This is one of those things where before I even get halfway through with it, you're going to be shaking your head. All right, but here's the deal. Imagine that you've squared off against a teenager and they've thrown a right punch. You are to reach up with your left hand and grab their wrist and pull them across your body so that they wind up with their back to your chest. Now,
Wait. They're teaching teachers, not martial artists, but teachers.
Yes. Yes.
To catch a punch.
Yes. Or, you know, it might be a choke or grab, but, you know, because they're all in the same zone. But anyway, the point is you pull the, wow. You put the back to them, then you switch hands and you reach around and you grab that arm. And then take your free right arm and reach across so that what you've done is you've X'd the students' arms across their chest, forming a human straitjacket with their arms, and then hold them in that position until the first responders can get there. Now, before
Is what, 7 minutes minimum?
Okay, now before you light your hair on fire and run around the studio, she says, "What would you do?" And I said, "Have your kid punch you." I said, "Punch you." I knock it down. I reach up. I grab his jaw. I twist him around. I step on the back of his knee and I put him on the ground. I hold him there, you know, with his knee in his neck. And she goes, "Oh, we can't do that." And I said, "Yeah, see, here's the deal." I said, "You know what? I can stand here and I can tell you this and that and the other thing, but let me tell you what they've done. They've turned you into the person who's going to throw themselves on their grenade so that they can CYA themselves from a lawsuit until the first responders come." That was my assessment of it. And now, gentlemen, let's begin the didactic invective diatribe. Go.
Why do I have to start with all the...
Because I pointed at you. It's the rule.
He's the moderator points.
I'm the Merv Griffin. Yeah. You have to.
There's a real scaling violence and then there's the non-real scaling violence. Legally, there's some stuff you can do, you can't do.
You looked at me with can't do.
well, legally, it's like one of the things. A lot of the things that are taught for self-defense right now that are very, very effective derive from military arts.
Yeah.
Military arts, you're just killing people. So something that's put in as part of their tactics, you got the guy on the ground, two finishing blows, and back away, pretty much define excessive force.
Yeah.
And
there's a lawsuit coming.
Well, you look at the stuff derived from military arts doesn't take self-defense law into account. The stuff derived from systems that basically predate this century or last century didn't take self-defense law into account.
Because there wasn't any.
Especially in the Oriental systems that many of us studied.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then you get the ones that are being made up for today where the people who get to decide what you're going to be trained in are far more afraid of lawsuits than there are people getting hurt. Because they've been sued more often than they've ever been punched.
Maybe we should interject that the range of things you might have to defend yourself against range from dirty looks up through the psycho with the knife trying to kill you.
Well, right? I want to tell you that this teacher actually told me that she had a student pick up a pair of scissors, and I mean like, you know, big like fabric type scissors with a point on them, and hurl them at her across the classroom.
Well, that's a deadly weapon.
No question.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the level of the people that they're dealing with.
But the perspective, though, that I wanted to interject is that you can do anything from doing nothing skillfully up to killing somebody. And there's stages in there, and most people don't train for all of the stages. So that whole hugging the guy thing, if you were skillful enough, that's a restraint control kind of technique. If you're skillful enough to pull it off, which I can't imagine you could be without a lot of training, but ignoring that, there are some things that would be useful for. But that's one niche of a much broader scale of responses, right?
One of the things within the book was most martial arts concentrate in one small area of it. Mm-hmm. And almost none of them deal with the very, very low levels. How to present yourself in such a way that you either don't look like a victim or look like someone that won't allow bad things to happen around them to calm them down. How to talk people down or how to convince them not to do something bad to someone else. If those aren't taught, then the person's not going to be skillful at them, obviously. But within that, you've got karate is about breaking things. Not really good for holding people without hurting them.
No, it's about striking and breaking.
So if you only have one piece of this scale and you happen to have a problem that's not appropriate to that piece.
I will use the hammer I have, my friend.
Yeah, or you're helpless, or you have to do nothing. So if all you can really do is throw a punch so powerful that you shatter ribs, and the big problem is that...
I like the way you looked at me when you said that part about shattering ribs.
That, you know, Aunt Ethel and Uncle Clyde are getting into it at a Thanksgiving dinner and you need to pull them off of each other.
Yeah.
What do you do? Things happen at scale. At the same time, if all you can do is pull people apart, wrestle, not hurt them, and someone's got a blade, then you're going to get filleted. It's if you don't have appropriate levels to appropriate problems...
Right.
There will be problems you're going to run to in the world you're totally unprepared for. And going into this is what we finish off the book. If your idea of a strategy is to hope that you get the problem that you can handle.
Doesn't work. Yeah. Now, I mean, you could get lucky.
Yeah.
But
luck is not a strategy.
Luck is not a strategy. Luck is not a strategy.